You're listening to Around Comics, watching before Watchmen, Ozymandias, number 2.
Chicagri.
That was really cool. Meeting Stan.
It was. All right, well, welcome back to Around Comics. I am Sal.
And I'm Braxton.
And this is Watching Before Watchmen, Ozymandias, number 2. I think it's Ozymandias. I don't know how else you'd pronounce it.
Ozymandias.
Ozymandias. This is the second issue of Ozymandias. We are going to go through this issue in detail. If you're not familiar with what Watching Before Watchmen is, basically we are going through every single issue of the Before Watchmen super event from DC Comics. We're going to go through them sort of, not page by page, but in depth. We're going to discuss the books and basically try and find out if any of them are any good, because what the hell is that? What is going on, Braxton?
With me?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here. I'm just looking. I'm looking at the comic.
I heard it sounded like
behind me?
Static and a radio, and like you know the moments in like 2000 or not 2000 like Close Encounters or like a movie like Poltergeist when something weird's gonna happen and you hear like static and the radio stations are changing by themselves and weird.
Oh shit!
That's what I heard. Are you in a haunted house?
Well, I guess so. I mean, if you're hearing that kind of rhetoric.
It was pretty weird. It was pretty odd. All right. So, yeah, we're going to go through the books, each individual one. If you haven't listened yet, if you're a new listener, welcome. And you might want to go back and check out some of the earlier issues on this. We've done everything that's come out week by week so far. We are on the second issue of Ozymandias. We've already done the first issue, as well as everything else before this.
Another thing is, if you're new to comics or you want to get into comics or you want to immerse in something, you're looking for something that's good that's out there, get into this and then listen with us. And it's this whole book of the week, month thing vibe going, and it's just extremely enjoyable.
you don't have to try and sell them. They're already listening.
Sold.
They're already listening. If they heard you say that, they're already listening.
Yeah.
But there will be spoilers involved in this. So if you haven't read the book or you don't want to be spoiled, I would suggest turning it off, reading the book, and then coming back, because we're going to talk about it. Before we get too much further, though, I would like to mention that this episode is sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service.
When you were a little child, if you left an empty box under your bed, did the comic book fairy come and fill it with four colored adventures from all your favorite heroes? No? Well, that's because there's no such thing as a comic book fairy. But the next best thing is Discount Comic Book Services. So go there, dcbservice.com, and turn your fantasies into realities with the best discounts in the business. No place online offers you bigger discounts on all your favorite published comics. So go there now, dcbservice.com, and stop wishing for a comic book fairy.
And that's it. Let's go ahead and just jump right into this book. I guess, we've been doing this for a while now, and I kind of thought maybe we could change things up just a little bit. We have been sort of talking about, the book kind of page by page, not exactly page by page, but sequence by sequence in order.
Sure.
And then at the end, we sort of talk about whether we liked it or not. But I kind of want to start out with just a brief thought or any brief initial thoughts you have on this issue before we kind of go in page by page. So anything in particular you want?
We're just basically going to flip the script, essentially. That's what we're doing.
I don't want to get into too much detail on, like, you know, our deep thoughts, because I don't know if that makes much sense necessarily. We should, but just sort of superficially, you know, like it, didn't like it, you know.
I definitely felt like this was a furtherance of the first issue. It's connected to that first issue. I was pleased with the issue. And, you know, I'm starting to wonder if that's a fault with me, because I seem to be pleased with all of the issues, and I wonder if I'm just kind of
soft
in my old age, kind of softening up and just, you know, you could wave
a little marshmallowy.
You know, yeah, just whatever in front of my face and I'm going to like it. I don't know. I like the story. I felt like Jai Lee's art, the first issue was maybe he was testing the waters. This one, he just went full bore. He's confident with all of his crazy layouts, and looks like he's trying some experimental techniques on a page, and we'll get to that. And I liked it. And now, you know, with the final page, I'm really interested to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, you know, I think you definitely sort of have an easygoing attitude towards most comics. I haven't, as of yet, really seen you come out and blast anything or kind of,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the closest I got to that, I guess, would have been Night Owl number one.
Right. That one annoyed you a little bit. But I think I might be, like, on the other end of the spectrum with it. I feel like sometimes I'm too critical about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even, like, and I don't know, sometimes it's just, like, the stupidest thing or the silliest thing, and I'll get into it at one point. But, like, there's a character in this book that, for whatever reason, as I was reading his dialogue, it just sounded like the worst acting in my head. Like, it sounded like a terrible actor trying to speak, and
the pimp.
Yeah, it was okay. So maybe it wasn't just me. But then I also you know, like, there were moments in here of, like, the art where I felt like even though I like Jai Lee and I think he's very good, there were moments where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm crazy about that. I think I started to feel as if my opinion of Jai Lee started to change a little bit on this issue, with the idea that, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot of backgrounds. Like, he seems to cover up the fact that he's not good at backgrounds with sort of weird, abstract stuff. And sometimes I wonder, well, is he just sort of an interesting, weird artist, or is he figured out a way to kind of cover up his weaknesses? I don't know. I guess either way isn't a crime.
Are you talking about Jai Lee's use of heavy blacks?
Yes.
And kind of just fading stuff out? Yeah, I thought about that, and I was indifferent. Well, I didn't come to a conclusion on it.
I haven't either.
If I like it or not. Yeah.
I haven't either. I haven't come to the conclusion, but... All right, well, that's sort of a brief how we feel. Now let's get into it a little more in depth here. Basically, well, as you said, this leads right off from the first issue. In the first sequence of this, it's basically we're back in Ozymandias's lair, and it's October 11th, 1985, which is right before the events in Watchmen sort of come to a conclusion. And he is dictating his autobiography, which it seemed like that felt different than the first issue. Like, I don't remember him, like, officially going, I'm going to talk about, you know, myself, I'm going to write an autobiography by speaking.
I think that him doing it is in keeping with him. It sounds like something he would do before he would he enacted the event that he did. I could see him doing that.
I could see him doing it. I just don't feel like he did, like he made that clear in the first issue that that's what he was doing. It felt to me initially as if he was just sort of nostalgic, remembering some things. And now it's turned into sort of an official autobiography that he's...
Yeah. You know what? Now that you kind of bring that to light, it seems kind of odd that he would go into this outpouring of his whole life before he... You would think that if he's going to dictate something, you would think that he would talk about the state of Russia and the United States and the decisions why he's coming to... But, I mean, that makes sense to me more so than this, but I guess, you know, we have to have this story, so...
Yeah. Like I said, it's a little thing. It's a very little thing, but for whatever reason, that stuck in my head. But anyway, so he's continuing his sort of oral autobiography as he's jumping around his lair.
As he's working out, which, you know, if I got a neighbor of mine, and, you know, often we'll jog together, and, you know, I love to spend time with him. That's great, but I can't talk and jog at the same time. And he's like, so anyway, this week's been crazy, man.
Wait a minute. You can't. Like, you can't do it because you can't breathe, or you can't do it because you're like...
No, man. When I'm jogging, I'm breathing, I'm sucking. I'm worried about oxygenating my body. I'm not... I can't, you know, chat with you too much. Other than, you know, you go ahead. It would be a lot like this podcast, I suppose, where I let you just kind of take over a little bit, and I just...
You jog alongside of me, and...
Yeah, and I'll just give a little... Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wait for me to pull a hamstring.
Yeah, but he's working out, and he's narrating, or he's dictating his
events.
Life's events, and you know, I don't see how he could do that without it sounding horrible, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he's the smartest man in the world, so I guess. But as we go back in time, and we're not really told when this is. I can't remember from the first issue what exactly era this is, but it's, you know, earlier in his history. It's probably the 60s still. Maybe 70s. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's right when he adopted the costume.
Right,
and
right.
He's enacting some strategy to ferret out crime and criminals, and I think he comes up with throwing money into...
Well, he's trying to figure out who killed his lady love,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, Miranda was, you know, she had a drug overdose, so now he wants to track down the supplier. So, yeah, he decides that he basically is going to throw money into the underworld and wait for a response to try and get his hands on whoever it is, you know, that's supplying people with drugs. So... he got some anonymous information that led him to an alleyway, and then he witnesses a pimp / drug dealer. And this was the guy I was talking about who, like, for whatever reason, when I read his dialogue, it seemed very strange to me. Like, it sounded in my head like,
a bad actor.
Like a bad actor. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. But I don't know, whatever. And he witnesses an exchange between the drug dealer and
someone, you know, when I first saw the old lady that he's speaking to, the pimp is speaking to, I thought that maybe that was Ozymandias in disguise or something. I didn't
pull the old Batman trick, dressing up like an old lady.
I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know who this person was because Jai Li didn't. He veiled the identity of this person, and in the next panel, they're walking off. You still don't see him, so it's kind of a mysterious. I guess
figure.
It's just.
I don't think they're important, really. It's just sort of.
Yeah, it's an odd person because
a buyer,
a prostitute. I don't know.
So yeah, why do we think this person's a pimp? I don't think there ever came out anything. Was there pimp talk in here? Like. You talking about his bitches?
I don't know why I thought he was a pimp.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're just mistaking him with some other pimp. But anyway, he witnesses an exchange. He figures out this guy's a drug dealer. He busts through sort of some boarded up wall that is there for some strange reason, and is cleverly is able to disarm the guy. He had a 45 automatic, and in a moment of time, he's able to dismantle the gun in the guy's hands and disarm him. And then the dude takes out a knife. And Ozymandias takes that away from him and nearly breaks his arm, hangs him upside down, shakes out his pockets, and then scares him into giving up a name. So he's basically shaking down a local pimp to kind of, you know, ride up the chain to figure out who's, you know, who's dealing this stuff, who's the supplier. Yeah. He doesn't care about these local drug dealer guys. He wants the supplier. That's who he's going after.
Yeah.
So
all I know is if I pull a gun on somebody and they do the whole martial arts move where they dismantle the gun in my hand, you know, the whole slide coming off and, you know, the clip coming out of the bottom.
Right.
I'm not putting a lot of faith in the blade. I'm just going to...
You're not going to pull a switchblade out and figure that's going to...
I'm just going to figure he's probably going to do something crazy.
Well, you know, you're a desperate criminal who, you know, basically...
You don't have the sense.
Yeah, I think that's part of it that goes hand in hand with a life of crime. I mean, you're not that bright. You're not that logical thinking of a guy. You might be bright, but...
Yeah, one thing I want to point out that this... it happens a lot, and this is my one complaint in the book. Everyone that has interaction with Ozymandias refers to him in some kind of pretty boy or some kind of fey name, you know, where they're making jest of him.
Well, he's wearing purple and yellow, you know, purple and gold costume with a mask and a little headband and a cape. And I mean,
I get that, and I do, but everybody that he comes in contact with, it almost changes. You know, okay, well, does he look that silly? I mean, is there no serious endeavor to him in going out fighting? Is he wearing a clown suit, basically? Is that how
Imagine if you're a drug dealer in some, you know, crappy alleyway in the shittiest part of town, and that's pretty much your day job. Then all of a sudden,
lives in the world where the Minutemen existed, where Dollar Bill, you know, with a big dollar sign on his chest, and where
I understand that, but how often, like, in this gigantic city, and remember, the Minutemen have been disbanded for a while now. There's not as many guys running around. They did exist, but how many times do you run into that guy, like? You probably see that dude on TV and think, you know, it's like running into somebody from Cirque du Soleil. All of a sudden, like, jumps out of an alleyway. Your first instinct, I think, is going to be, what is this?
Well, yeah, if there was a band of Cirque du Soleil that successfully beat and battled crime, you know, 15 years ago. That's my argument.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I think he's a little faggy looking, you know? I mean, I think of all the heroes, his costume is probably the most, kind of gregarious and outlet, you know, like most shiny and sort of the most,
well, that's still my complaint. I mean, it happens every,
well, season. Yes, you know, I think we're also dealing with a limited writer in Len Wein that maybe he just can't come up with anything else to describe Ozymandias. I don't know. And all right, so moving on. After have I placated you yet?
Yes, okay. I'm adequately placated.
Good Lord.
There's one thing you know about me, Sal, and is that I don't argue with Sal.
No, no one should. It's
no
not
one
a good
should
idea.
Ever argue with Sal. There's no money in it.
No, the odds are not in your favor. Eventually, I'll just punch you. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If I can't win the argument, I'm just going to punch you.
Just drive to Atlanta.
Ask Ryan Stegman. he follows the name that he's given. He goes to the next night. He goes to a shranky supper club.
Very shranky.
And they're very happy to have him. I mean, he's obviously a very well-known, wealthy individual in the city. So as he walks in as just Adrian Veidt, they're, you know, they treat him like a VIP, and they put him in a little room, you know, a little table, and give him some wine and blah, 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 blah. And once again, he witnesses a exchange between the club's manager and what appears to be a tough guy leg breaker, as he says. So he assumes from that that this club, for whatever reason... Now, I was a little confused by this because I didn't understand what the club had to do with... Like, how it led him to this, unless the name he was given was of the manager?
Well, let's see. Wait a minute. Did he... Clearly, he got the name from the drug pusher.
Right, he got the name from the drug dealer, but he didn't say who the name was. Or
I guess he just told him that that was the location, and, you know, his going on the scene and his scanning the room and looking for anything suspicious, and he saw something suspicious.
I guess, yeah, just a matter of, like...
But I thought, you know, these two pages are really wordy, but I thought that Lynn Wein did... You know, a pretty good job in showing how he's very Jason Bourne in his abilities to do what he does. You know, he describes the wine and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question he's writing him, you know, with a certain eloquence and intelligence and refinement that you would suspect Adrian would have.
Yeah,
more stuff to sort of lead to his effeminate appearance.
Tastes.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was just a little confused on this because they didn't really explain, like, okay, so the drug dealer gets his supplies from this swanky supper club? That doesn't seem likely. I don't know. But anyway... He ends up trailing the leg breaker guy to...
Well, yeah, the leg breaker guy doesn't belong. You know, I guess the socio demographics doesn't match up or whatever.
Well, no, I understand that. Like, he sees that, like, the manager's paying him off. So, obviously, it's something, you know, he's supplying the manager with drugs. And I guess the manager is supplying local drug dealers. That's the chain that I'm following here.
Yeah.
So it just seems a little odd. Like, why this swank supper club? It seemed a little strange to me. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Put another Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cut away coat, perfect fits. Put another Ritz. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. And they're just like the middlemen. Like, the club manager is the middleman to this. It just seems like an odd relationship. But anyway, he follows this leg breaker guy to basically to the docks. And there's a warehouse that he follows him to. And then he decides to slip into his costume and break inside this warehouse. And inside he finds the...
New Jack City.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's something here. This is, you know, something that I had a problem with this issue was, like, this seemed very typical. Like, how many times are we going to see that, like, half-naked Asian women that are, you know... cutting up cocaine or heroin or something.
Yeah, it's almost a...
It's a cliche at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've seen it so many times, so that was sort of like, eh, whatever. But yeah, we see this...
I like how the cocaine is rendered, though. It's just completely white. I mean...
It's just a big pile of white.
Yeah, completely white. No color.
Well, and here's some more... Here's a perfect example of, like, in that same scene, you see, you have in the foreground, you have the three Asian women and the big pile of cocaine on a table. And in the background, it's just like black lines. You know what I mean? It's just silhouette. And I start looking at that and I go, well, you know, is he doing it for effects? Sure. But is he also doing it because he's not really that good at backgrounds?
So you're an artist and I'm an artist. So we've drawn things and we've come to some illustrations where, okay, now it's time to do the more laborious backgrounds, you know, and we can either generalize things or we can go from reference.
No, I know. I'm not judging him, and I'm not saying this makes him a bad artist. I'm just, this is what's flowing, this is what's going through my head as I'm looking at this page, and it's sort of changing my opinion a little bit. Like, at one time, I think I was very high on Jai Li, and now I look at this, and I'm like, I'm not, so, no,
well,
I don't know.
You. I mean, I'm with you.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I'm certainly not saying he's a bad artist. I'm not suggesting that this makes him any lesser of an artist. I'm just wondering if he chooses to do this. I mean, on one hand, it looks cool. Like and we've gotten to, that's his style.
I mean, he throws those crazy wiring. Which,
right.
The thing of it is, he's generalizing stuff. I mean, he's you know, he's shooting from drawing from reference, but limited reference, and then he's taking over, and you know. I don't know. I mean, I like to see highly referenced stuff, but you know, there's a lot of artists out there that make a name on just completely inventing the world at the end of their, you know, brush.
Right, right.
Our good buddy Scotty Young is definitely, you know, comes to mind on that. And I think that he's doing that because, I mean, what warehouse do you know is going to have, you know, that kind of scaffolding and archwork.
I mean, right.
There's not one. You know, there's not one. And you know, there's circles, there's simple shapes. And in most all buildings and everything is done the same way. Even on the next page when he throws the guy through the door, that's not a door.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's a strange, almost geometric
line. That's not pieces of wood.
But it sort of is. Like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Like I said, I'm not... I'm certainly not saying, or, you know, sort of trying to complain about it or anything like that. It's just interesting that... I've read plenty of Jai Li stuff in the past. Jai Li.
Well, it commands an opinion from you.
I mean,
either you love it or you don't. Either you're with it or you're not. Yeah. I'm all right with it.
So far, I am too. Like I said, I'm not against it, but it's just interesting that my perspective maybe is changing a little bit. Well, anyway, so he jumps into this building. We see that this is obviously a cocaine supply house, and there's this sort of toadish fat man at behind the scenes of all of it. Obviously, he's the bad guy, and Ozymandias jumps into the fray, and after scanning the room, he sort
of... That's a cool effect, that little...
Yes, but I did have... Okay, I have another complaint. I don't mean to complain too much, but then he says... I just want to read this. He goes, "As Porcini's men started to move, I warned the women in their native tongue to seek cover. Then I surveyed the entire room. As time slowed to a crawl for me, then literally stopped." First of all, is Len Wein suggesting now that Ozymandias' mind is so powerful that he can stop time?
And well, I didn't like that final, that literally stopped. I got you there. But I do like the fact that he... In the woman's native tongue, he warned. I thought that's totally cool.
Yeah,
and that
That goes along with the
yeah,
most
the stuff
brilliant.
We just read at the...
And I don't have a problem even with the idea of, like, okay, my mind works a lot faster than yours, so time seems to slow down when I can think so quickly that before you're able to react, I've already figured
so
out all the...
So you think it's just a poor use of the term litter?
I think it's a really poor use of literally stop. Yeah. That annoys me, like, to use something like literally in a sense that is completely wrong. I mean... Time did not literally stop for him. That is the absolute wrong use of that term, you know. So that annoyed me a little bit, but it is a cool effect that Jai Li wrote. Sort of all the math going into his eye, him calculating everything as he scans the room while they're in slow motion apparently. And he's figured it all out before they even react, and he gives them a chance to surrender, but they obviously refuse to because they're criminals.
Well, what did you think of the double page spread?
I have to say I like the idea of it. I thought it was kind of neat, but I don't think that this shows off more of Jai Li's weaknesses than it does his strengths. I mean, you have sort of strange anatomy issues with some of the figures. You have odd pointiness to a lot of the stuff, like his cape and feet and things. Just a little strange. It didn't quite work for me. I liked it in some ways, but it just didn't quite work for me. Like, I wouldn't... I don't think it was all that great, but what did you think?
I liked it. I liked the fact that it was they had the yellow on black, which is complete, you know, Watchmen
motif.
In design and motif, and I mean, this is his aesthetic. This is Jai Li's. This is his joint. You know, this is how he talks to us, and he's not the best artist on every topic or piece of fiction that could come along, but I'm immersed with his tale here. I mean, remember in the first issue I was the one complaining about it being like a fantasy land. Well, by now, you know, I'm on board with it. I'm here. You know, continue, take me where you're going to take me. But I mean, it is kind of a fantasy world, basically. I mean, the way this, I mean, again, that's not a warehouse where you see, the construction like that. And, you know, the, anatomy that you pointed out, but I liked it. I was fine with it.
Okay.
It looks like it could. It's kind of an easy thing to design.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's almost okay, but it's just not quite there for me. I just don't think it works. Like, I think I would have rather just seen it done in a different way. This didn't really thrill me, but
well, it's a graceful kind of I guess design which fits with Ozymandias, you know.
Yeah, we should explain that it's a double page spread of Ozymandias going into action, and basically he's flipping around in this warehouse. He throws his little headband thing, it ricochets around, and as that's happening, he's
catching it, flipping some more, kicking some guys.
Right, he's taking out the whole crew basically in the warehouse, and then, you know, he goes up on these scaffolds and fights a few more guys and easily takes care of them, and then it sort of ends when he's got his back to the main bad guy, Porcini.
And this is interesting. It looks like Porcini gets
the drop.
Beat on.
Yeah, he got the drop on him. He's got him turned away, and he's got a pistol, got a gat pointing at the back of his head. So
38 on him.
Yeah, snub nose. Is that a snub nose 38? That's what I'm saying. You know, maybe with
the it's a little Saturday night special on it.
And Porcini, you know, does the sort of classic talk too much for a villain, you know, kind of thing. Instead of just plugging him, he starts to, you know, want to know who this guy is and what the hell's he doing there and all that stuff. And then we find out that Adrian was ahead of him the whole time. And before, when he was flipping around and throwing that headband thing, it had weakened the structure of a giant Klieglite. Is that a Klieg? Is that how you say it? Klieglite?
Did they say it was a Klieglite?
Yeah, he said a Klieglite.
I've never heard of a Klieglite.
I haven't either. Yeah, I don't know what a Klieglite.
That must be what the bat signals run on, is a big Klieglite.
Must be.
And he caught that Klieglite in the cranium.
Yes, it falls down and hits Porcini and knocks him unconscious. And Adrian very kind of smugly says, you know, come on, did you really think that I was gonna let you get the drop of me with a pistol, you piece of crap? And
I'm an asshole.
He did, and that was sort of surprising. Like, yeah, at the end of it, he's like, asshole. He just kind of throws that in there, which is sort of, I don't know, weird, I guess. But
he broke character a little bit.
Little bit. But I did like this scene. I like the idea of, you know, Adrian almost playing with these guys because it's so easy for him. Like, he thinks it out so quickly and figures everything out, and then he's able to just sort of, you know, play with them and
sort them out. That's, I always figured that's how the Midnighter was with his abilities.
Right.
Going on a tangent there.
Making it fun for himself. So he takes out the whole crew, and then the cops show up, and Adrian, or Ozymandias, you know, very dramatically sort of...
Yeah, and he catches another comment. Okay, who are you, fancy boy?
Yeah.
Calls him fancy boy.
Well, come on, it's a cop. What is he going to call him? Hey, listen, fancy boy, you little purple gold...
What's the purple and yellow, you fancy boy?
Yeah, fancy on. Nancy, jeez, pansy.
Look at yourself.
What kind of pansy are you? Adrian sort of, you know, makes a little bit of a statement and then takes off.
King of Kings, he's Ozymandias.
He is Ozymandias. And yeah, at this point, like, he hadn't really said that was his name or anything, I guess, until this moment. A bit of inspiration comes to him, and he calls himself Ozymandias once the cop asks him who he is, you fancy Nancy boy, you.
What's your name, Super Nancy?
Yeah, please. Hey, look at this, Charlie. Look at this fancy boy. You see this? So then he takes off, very happy with himself, and he goes home. And then we kind of get him a montage piece where he is scanning the newspapers of his own activities and making a bit of a clip book for himself because...
Yeah.
He is the ultimate, not only the world's smartest man, but the world's biggest narcissist as well.
Yes. I like the art here, too, by the way.
I did, too. I very much liked it. And this is a different style for...
Looks like he sketched it. And
yeah, it's a little more sketchy, little more, you know, different, a little different style.
He even did his own, and I guess sooner or later in all the books, every artist is going to do the Watchmen photo. You know, of the Minutemen.
Right, yeah. The
his is here, so.
And then he goes in to explain that, you know, he realizes that there's other people doing it, but then he also realizes not as many as there was when he was a kid. And so he goes back and starts to research the original Minutemen and starts to find out what happened to them all. And he's intrigued by the disappearance of Hooded Justice.
When that story aspect came up, I was immediately immersed. Because I want to know what happened to Hooded Justice. I figure that we're going to find out what happened to him while we're reading Minutemen, the Minutemen story. But this is delving into it a little bit, and I'm really intrigued at this point.
I am too. The only thing I would say is that it did seem a little odd, though, that like there was no real didn't feel like there was any real end to the whole thing with Miranda. Like, he got the guy.
He switched gears from Miranda to wanting to know about Hooded Justice really easy.
To notebooking himself. And then, going to Hooded Justice pretty quickly. So it just felt a little odd to me, but no biggie. Mm. But I did like the idea of, okay, it's a challenge for him. There's a mystery, and he's the kind of guy that can't let a mystery stand. Like, that's too intriguing to him. So,
hell no.
So he's going to go and find out what happened to Hooded Justice. So he's doing his research, and it leads him to the waterfront, to the docks. And he talks to this little street urchin guy.
Apparently that's a contact or a source of his.
Yeah, some sort of newspaper. Or what were those guys? What were the kids in Flash? The newspaper kids or whatever?
The Newspaper Legion?
Yeah, whatever they were. I can't. Newsboy Legion, right?
Right.
And this guy tells him everybody's looking for Hooded Justice, even the government. Uncle Sam's got one of his spooks checking out HJ's disappearance. Boss,
we should immediately know who that's going
to
be.
And so, cut to him, kind of searching around the docks themselves, and somebody opens fire on him with a machine gun. He is able to flip out of the way and throw a trash can lid at him, a la Captain America, America. And then we find out the guy shooting at him is none other than our buddy, the comedian.
Even more intrigued.
And as the comedian says, sorry, pretty boy.
Yeah, there we go.
But I guess the joke's on you, because I got more than one gun and I'm
out. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the last final straw right there, man. The comedian who's dressed up in a mask and everything is going to call him pretty boy.
Well, like I said, I think Adrian is just a little more femme than everybody else. Like, his costume's a little silly.
My complaint is that it was done too much. I mean, I don't mind
too
that
much pretty boy.
He caught a couple of comments, but everybody gave it to him. I mean, I started to get a complex for him.
Well, I just think, he's blonde and very much in shape.
Well,
and
Alan
wearing...
Moore kept all of that stuff on the subtle. He just inferred to it just enough.
Well, I guess Len isn't quite the writer that Alan is, maybe. Just saying. Doesn't make him bad.
What did you think of the cover?
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought that it had absolutely nothing to do with the story.
Yes.
That there's a woman in a gas mask with a rope
what?
Around. Yeah, it was very S&M and strange, very, Marilyn Manson kind of thing, and it had nothing at all to do with the story, unless we're to assume that is Miranda. And
I was right when we got on, I was looking for the alternate covers, and I saw an image of this, but it was Lady Twilight holding him up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, instead of her. It was almost like he switched characters for the female. And but, I mean, the thing of it is not only is this scene not even in the book or anything.
Anything like it. Nothing
like it.
Yeah.
But in the book, he's represented as someone who's got the beat on every criminal. You're not besting him. He's not going to be beat. And on the cover, we see what looks to be, some masked criminal.
Well, like I said, is that what it is, or is it some sort of analogy to something a bit more esoteric, something, more, like I said, is this like the ghost of Miranda has him, under control, because that's why he's going off and fighting crime?
I would have given you that had I not seen that Lady Twilight image.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. It's almost as if he just did the image, or he was confused. he thought maybe he was doing a different... I don't know. I have no idea. It has nothing at all to do with the inside of the book.
It's almost like someone told Jai Lee, you know, he woke up one morning and he checked his email and someone said, hey, man, it's Thursday, dude.
We need a cover?
Where you at with that cover?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a cool cover, but...
Yeah, it's really cool. It looks great, but I just, you know,
nothing.
Composition-wise, and it doesn't go with it.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't know. It's a weird deal.
Vicky played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling.
Okay, so now that we've gone through it, any other thoughts on, you know, overall your feelings on this issue, on the, you know, now we're two issues into Ozymandias. Are you liking it more? Are you liking it less? Is it the same? What are you feeling?
I like it. I thought that again, you know, I thought that it's a I think that Jai Lee is getting stronger with his art. He's playing around with things. Some of the stuff that he does seems real simple, but I just think that he's one of those real design-heavy artists. And he's the right choice for this character. So as far as the story, I like how Len Wein is portraying Ozymandias as being this real calculated vigilante. And I'm really intrigued with the interest in the Hooded Justice and the emergence of the comedian in the at the end of the story. So I like it.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, as much as I had complaints as we talked about this, I wasn't annoyed by it or anything. I wasn't, you know, like there was nothing that was so much of a big deal that it ruined the story for me or anything. I thought it was pretty well done. I like this more than I like the first issue, you know, because the story is sort of progressing a little bit. There's still some weird things in it, like, you know, writing wise. I don't think it's real, real strong. I mean, the story to me is a little boring, a little like, you know, it's just a little pat. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little.
What do you not like? I mean, do you not like the fact that he's going after the Hooded Justice mystery when,
it just is a little boring. Like, this isn't really giving me a whole lot of information or anything interesting about Adrian to me. Like, that's what I thought to me, like, if you're going to write a prequel to an incredibly interesting and character-driven story like Watchmen, and you're going to pull characters out of it, and you're going to tell stories about them before that book. To me, I would rather see something more interesting about these characters and a take on them and a perspective on them, and either what, you know, let's find out more about who make them who they are. This seems like a very sort of, you know, bland, common origin story at this point. Like, there's not really a whole lot of interesting stuff. It's been a bit cliche, a bit, you know, just sort of blah for my taste so far. It's you know, okay. But that's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's,
well, I think that, you know, he might be doing something that you might like with the Hooded Justice mystery. I mean, we could go anywhere.
Yeah, maybe, and that's, I did like that sort of little bit of a twist at the end of this issue, that, okay, now this is changing into something different and maybe more interesting. And but it almost feels like, well, my story's not all that interesting, so now I'm going to throw in a crossover. You know what I mean? Like, that was sort of the thing. Hey, we...
Oh, you really?
Well, you know, like, why did crossovers exist? Because a book is not doing that well.
You mean that I got crossovered?
I think you got a little crossovered and you were blinded by it.
I think maybe I got crossovered.
You might have.
Because I was real excited at the end of the book.
I know, and it's the comedian and you're all excited about that, but it may just be a ploy to get you excited and take away from the fact that this is sort of not that good of a story. But it's like, hey, don't pay attention to the fact that I use the term.
Look at the comedian.
It's the comedian with a gun and he's smoking a cigar. Isn't that cool? It's kind of funny. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not saying that's necessarily it, you know, for sure. But at the same time, I'm not all that crazy about the story yet. And now it's, oh, well, I'm a little more interested because of the end of this. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sold yet, but I'm a little better now than I was after the first issue. But we'll see. We'll see if they can pull me through. We got four more on this one, so. What about the Crimson Curse of the Crimson Corsair? The backup, two issues in the back of this.
You're not gonna believe this.
You didn't read it, did you?
I so did not read this.
Okay. Well,
You didn't read it either, did you?
I did read it. What do you think? I'm a freaking professional.
You walk me
Braxton.
Through it. I'm going to read it right now.
Okay. Wait. Well, basically, our hero, after being dumped in the ocean by the Crimson Corsair, off to find the three things he has to try and do to save his soul, he washes up on an island, and at first he kind of thinks. Man,
he had a star shape on his chest.
Well, at first he thinks it's all, maybe it was a dream, maybe it was real, but there's a star-shaped scar on his chest, so that indicates that it was real and his soul was taken. But he hasn't had much time to think about that, because all of a sudden a bunch of people just come charging through the underbrush nearby. And what? Oh, God's blood. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he swears. I'm going to...
God's
blood.
That's
what I'm
going to
do. When someone pulls out in front of me tomorrow or something, I'm going to... That's my swear.
Odin.
God's blood. What are you doing? Get this a red light. What is your problem, man?
I still like Odin's beard. That's my favorite, I think.
Odin's beard.
Odin's beard. And so it seems to be some indigenous people being chased by French slavers.
Okay.
You know, those filthy French. And as these people run away, they just start plugging them. And our hero gets grazed in the temple, knocked unconscious. And the French slavers capture up all the living indigenous. And then they realize, Mon Capitaine, this one is English, and he is alive.
They're gonna kill him.
And then they say, well, he's very little use to us, none, so kill him. And that's the end of it. So, there you go. That was the two pages.
Well, number one, if the worst to not having a soul is to walk around with this awesome, cool Captain America scar on your chest, let's go.
You're down with that?
Yeah, I mean, why... I'm doing whatever continent I move to, I'm moving to the center of it so I don't have to go to the ocean and get in and see.
Oh no, Adrian! What do we do?
It's time to call the Watchmen!
Strong together, united forever. They're the best of friends. When trouble's about, you best watch out for the Watchmen.
Night Owl is the leader, and he loves to party down. Rorschach's friends with the animals when he's not clowning around.
All right. Well, apparently we've had some technical issues here. Brax is a little bit his connection's a little messed up, so we were pretty much done anyway. That's pretty much it. That's Watching Before Watchmen, Ozymandias number 2. We once again had a little bit of debate as to whether it was good or bad, or what was good or what wasn't. But that's the good part of this. I do want to thank everybody for listening. I do want to mention that you can reach us at aroundcomics.com. You can email us at info@aroundcomics.com. We'll probably read it on air if you email us. You can come to our forum. you can come to our forum and bug us on there and argue with me. One guy, I love that one dude said, I just listened to the show and I only joined the forum so that I could disagree with Sal, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Although I will say at some point I just will stop arguing because I don't care anymore. But that's usually at least 4 posts into an argument. This episode is sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service. Please go to dcbservice.com and order your monthly comics or trades, because they are very kind to sponsor the show and keep us running. So go ahead, go over there and order right now. And yeah, I guess that's next week. We'll
can
be.
You hear me? Can you hear me? How am I coming in? Am I coming in okay? Can you hear me?
It sort of sounds like a auto tune record, sort of a little bit, you know, like a little. Who's an auto tune?
Those poltergeists that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, that could be. That you might want to. I don't know what you do for that. You might want to move, because I think you might be living on top of a.
What do you do for poltergeists?
I don't know. I'm not sure what move. That's pretty much it, I think.
Get out.
Get out. Next week is Rorschach number 1, which I'm looking forward to very much. Brian, hails to the yes. Hopefully in between now and then we will have another episode up of just us sort of BSing a little bit. We've been trying to get together more often and to do that kind of thing, because we know that the show sort of turned into a Before Watchmen podcast, but we are trying to get our schedules together.
Yeah, and that's not us, baby. That's not us, man. That's a bonehead way to be. That's not us. We got all kinds of stuff.
All right, you're definitely, I think, living on a Indian burial ground. It's either that or Ray J has kidnapped.
Oh no.
I don't know. It's something like that. Or who's the other guy? T.I.? Isn't that a rapper dude?
T.I. Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. You sound like Lil Wayne a little bit. What else? I will be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo in September. You can go to cincinnatiComicExpo.com.
Last night.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
That sucks, man.
I can understand that. I can interpret. You had a dream about the Cincinnati Comic Expo last night.
Yeah, man. I had a dream that we were boozing at it.
Well, that's.
This isn't hyperbole. This is full on. I had a dream and we were boozing at it. Either you or I were trying to get the other one to stop partying so hard. I can't remember which one.
Well, what do you think? Who do you think that would be? Like, who of the two of us, which one was more likely to be out of control?
It might have been me trying to get you to calm down from the mountain.
That sounds completely likely and possible. But I've got to warn you, it's not an easy thing to do. Although I have to say, I never got out of control at Windy City or Wizard World Chicago. This last weekend, I had fun at Wizard World Chicago, and I didn't get too crazy out of control. There was at one point, Ryan Stegman kept trying to get me to stay in his hotel, but I think he just wanted to snuggle with me. So that was.
So we punched him. Did you hit Ryan?
I did hit. Well, I punched him in the shoulder, and he said to me, You're one of those guys that probably hits people and doesn't understand how strong or how hard you hit them.
He's probably right.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty... Yeah, I forget sometimes that people are a little more frail than I am. But, you know, especially like skinny little comic book artists. You know, they don't have a whole lot of muscle mass. And
I'm going to do some... push-ups right now. As soon as we get off Skype, I'm doing push-ups.
Do some push-ups. Get ready, baby. Get ready for Cincinnati. All right, that's it. That's the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. And please, yeah, please contact us. Come on the forum. Email us. We'd love to hear from you guys. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. We're just doing this for fun. But, you know, hey, feel free to contribute to the show. We will read your emails and tweet us, and we will probably retweet you and... yeah, all that good stuff. Yeah. We have a Facebook. We have the Facebook. That's how the kids are saying it, right? The Facebook.
The Facebook page.
I think I even have a Tumblr, but I don't think I've used it in like 6 months.
I've got that Instagram.
I got some Instagram. Yeah, I got a gram of Instagram, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're just getting stupid. Let's just say goodnight and go. Thank you all.
Good night.
Adios, motherfuckers.
Adios, motherfucker.
Sing me, just sing a little, hey now, hey now. Can you?
Oh my gosh, I was listening to Heatwave earlier. How did that song go? Oh my gosh, it would be so good with auto-tune. Oh God, I can't think of the lyrics.
Heatwave, like?
Heatwave, man. What's their favorite song, Heatwave, from the 70s?
Heatwave, da-na-na-na-na. Oh, yeah. That's all I know of it.
That's not the song, but you definitely need to put it in on the end of this episode.
All right, I will.
Oh, we've been dancing to it all night. Oh, Heatwave, man.
I usually try and put something in that's relevant to the issue.
It's relevant to us, man. Heatwave.
Heatwave. I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying. You want me to put in the heat of the night? You want Miami Vice?
This is your way of getting out of it.
What? What did you say? I couldn't understand you. All right.